but you're like, hey, I'm driving, or I want to hear about what was talked about last Sunday, you can do that from the app. It's a pretty cool thing. So I want to just invite you to check that out. So with all of that being said, you guys, this is a good day to be in this house. I'm excited. It's almost like a family reunion, you know, that we're coming together. And I want to just kind of talk about this idea of family reunion a little bit today, because they are great. Family reunions are great. It's a great way to reconnect with all the people that you know, all the people that you may have not seen in a long time. Maybe it's the whatever your family unit is, okay? It could be just a school reunion, a class reunion, high school or college. Maybe it's a cohort for a master's program that you really wanted to dig in, hang out with each other again, or it was a job. I know that I've had youth group reunions back in the day. Could be family reunions. Whatever it is, reunions are really, really cool. I didn't always used to think that reunions were cool. My parents always thought reunions were cool. And they loved going. They loved going and hanging out with people to see how people are doing, to hear the stories, to be reconnected with life, to be reminded of what it means to be a Palmer or a Moline. You know, that was my family. And whatever it was, to be reminded of their identity and what was important to them. And I think also part of it was to laugh and maybe even lament at the receding hairlines that were going on with the people in the room. But I'll tell you that originally, when I would go to a family reunion, I didn't like it. I'd go as a kid, and there'd be all of these old, smelly people, and they would just mess up my hair and tell me how much I'd grown, and that I looked like my grandpa. Didn't matter which side. They're just like, oh, you look like your grandpa when he was your age. And I'm like, you're so old. Oh my gosh, and you stink. I don't know. It just, I didn't want to be around these people, and I didn't like reunions. And so even when I was in college, and it had made such a negative impact on me that my parents, who loved reunions, were like, hey, we got a reunion coming up. You should come. And I'm like, No, I really don't want to go. And before you throw your shoe at me because of my negativity towards reunions, let me just say that I've changed my mind about reunions. I love them, and I think that they're very important in this day and age. Reunions are a very key thing, because I know that I had been missing the point. Family coming together is important. The reason there are family reunions or class reunions, or job reunions, whatever it is, the reason there are these moments is to remember the great stories, the history, to be reminded of the identity of that group of people. We were Boulder High School Panthers. Yay! Or we're Palmers, whatever, you know, whatever the reunion is. You're reminded of that. And as you sit and you share the stories, you would be reminded of the values that your family held true to. And so, kind of bringing it back to now, COVID sadly has really divided our church. It's really separated us in a lot of ways, to the point to where many individuals in the church have forgotten their family. You know, and it's easy to happen. It's, you know, you're separated for so long, and things just, life just starts to happen, and things start to fill the void of the different activities that go on, and we start to forget about this Sunday morning experience that we have to coming together and being with one another. And it happens, and in 18 months, we've forgotten our identity, our history, and our values. Well, this is the start. For the rest of the summer, we're going to kind of have a family reunion every week. And we're going to be going through and remembering our identity, remembering our history, and what our values are in this time. And we want to make this call to come home and remind everyone who who we are and what we are about as a church. All right? I know there's been a lot of division. I know there's been a lot of hurt. I know there's been a lot of frustrations over the past 18 months. I know there's been a lot of things that have taken place over the course of this season, and we have been bringing back a mindset, a mentality of positivity, a spiritual place of seeking after the Lord, being excited for what he is doing and where we are going as a church. But I know that because of the past, there are still quite a few people that are holding back and not re-engaging. And I really feel that in this season that we are coming into and walking in right now, this is a season of reunifying our body and coming back together. All right? So I'm super excited. Can we pray? I'm going to just pray for us as we dig into the word this morning. God, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to just learn from you, to hear from your heart as we dig into your word. And as we just look at this, may you speak to us today as we are wanting to come back together and come back in a reunified heart and mindset as we come back together as family. We love you, Lord, and we just give you this time in your name. Amen. Amen. So as we're talking about family reunions, as we're talking about this reunifying of the body, of TRC in particular, I know that there's a larger church that we can talk about, but I just really want to focus on the River Church, okay? Because that's what we are. That's our family, TRC. That's who we are, and that's what I want to focus on today. So how are we going to start this coming back together? And I want to have a discussion today with you and share with you from the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 14 today, but I want to look at three keys to unity that I see are important for us as a church to adopt as we are coming back together. Three keys to unity, all right? And this first key that we're going to look at today is to care for other family members. To care for other family members. This is so important as you'll hear and as you'll see as we read in this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, it says this, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy, encourage those who are timid, take tender care of those who are weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people." So this is an interesting set of scripture here. There's six things that we need to do to care for other family members. Six things that we can look at that as we are going about bringing unity back into this church, and for those of you that have individuals that you know have been like, church, whatever, I'm out, or I'm really angry with this church, or I'm really frustrated with that part of this aspect of whatever's going on, I want to just encourage you that there run the gamut of so many different things of the people that you know, because I recognize right in this room today, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. Y'all are here. Y'all are a part of this, and y'all recognize the value of coming together in church. And so I also want you to hear this so that we can then go as the body of Christ, as it exists right now, we can go out and we can remind those people, we can reach out and love on those individuals that have been like, I'm out. And we can bring them back into the family. We can send out the invitation. But at times, I know because of the hurt and the hardness of heart, we have to kind of ease our way back in. We have to love people back in to this body. And so, but sometimes we have to do it with truth and love and, you know, a little bit of prodding, which is the first part of this that says, warn the lazy. And you're going, warn the lazy? What is this about? Well, let me just share with you. This is something that people are like today. Some people are, but it was definitely apparent back in the times of the church, early church, when Paul was writing. There were those individuals, because Jesus had just ascended not too long when this is being written. But so Jesus had ascended, and Paul's writing this and saying, guys, you need to warn the lazy about this. There were those individuals that were like, meh, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to hang out. They wouldn't work. They wouldn't do anything. They were just kind of hanging out at somebody's house, mooching on their food, not doing any work, not doing anything, because they were just like, you know, Jesus is coming back. I got my fire insurance. I know I have a relationship with him. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to chill out. I'm just going to just hang out all the time. And what Paul's saying here is he goes, guys, there's still family business that goes on. I don't know if you're like this in your house, but my family, my kids, my wife and I, we all do stuff in the house. We vacuum the house. We wash the floors. We clean out the cat box. We scoop the poop. I mean, we do the stuff. We do the dishes. All of these things. There is not one person in the house that just gets to sit back and do nothing, even though Kale would probably say, Dad, you're the guy that sits back and does nothing. No, I facilitate. No, I'm kidding. I vacuumed yesterday. I threw down. All right. So, yeah. But it's important that we, in love, share with people to start doing stuff, to get active. All right? I know that there are things you can Google on YouTube, or you can watch on YouTube. You can see ducks walking across the street going very slowly, and where it looks really cute. I know that for the people that are parked there waiting, it can be annoying to wait for the ducks to cross, or some geese come across and then they stop in the middle of the road. Or maybe around here it's mostly like deer, you know, will stop in the middle of the road and just stare at you, and you're thinking to yourself, would somebody just get that deer out of the way? Or it's a turtle in the middle of the road. Have you experienced that before? I've seen a turtle in the middle of the road, big sucker, and I stopped in the middle of the road, and I'm waiting for this turtle to go across the road, and I'm thinking to myself, would you just move a little bit faster, you slow turtle? And there's moments where we can say to each other, would somebody just pick up this turtle and do something about it? Well, maybe it is time that the somebody is you, and you're the one to actually, as you see the people that are being lazy, that you're the one to encourage them to get up, truth and love, pick them up and say, let's start doing something. Get out of your car. Yell at the deer. Come on, get out of here. You know, pick up the turtle. Put them safely on the side of the road. Maybe it's up to you to do that. All right? Another thing that we can do, encourage the timid. The readers at this time in Thessalonica, they understand, they lived in Roman Empire, Roman rule. And so for them, there was this constant place of persecution that they were in. So there were people that were just having a hard time being followers of the way. Not only were they being persecuted by the Romans, but they're being persecuted by the Israelites, by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious teachers of the day. There were people that were going after them on both sides. So they're like, we can't win here. We're being knocked down. And in Hebrews, the writer says this. It says, you suffered long with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same thing. There were people at the time that were struggling and having a hard time in their life because of the fact they were following after the Lord. There might be people in your life right now that you know are struggling and having a hard time with certain things in their life. They're timid. They're knocked down, all right? And they're struggling. And I want you to be encouraged today to go up to them and say, hey, like it's being said here by the writer of Hebrews, hey, you know what? There's times that you're going to be walking through a hardship, and that's okay. I'm going to be with you on that. Remember, there were times that you were the one speaking into my life, and now I want to speak into your life. It's okay. You can get through this time. Let's go together. When you see a family member fall, and now be honest and for real with me here, when you saw as a kid somebody fall, did you kind of laugh a little bit? Were you like, whoops, bummer? Or did you run and race to help them? You know, when we talk about the timid here, these are people that have really been hurt, that are falling, that are struggling. And I know that at times we can laugh and not be sure what's going to happen. And we can be honest about that. We can go, you know, I kind of froze, and I'm sorry about that. And we can go up to that person later on and say, would you please forgive me when I froze? I didn't know how to respond to your hurt, but I'm here now. Would you forgive me? I want to help walk you through this season of life. We need to encourage the timid to come back. We need to help the weak. And those, when we're talking about helping the weak, these are the ones that are struggling with their faith. I mean, those people that are just having a hard time believing, they're really dealing with loss. They're just dealing with, you know, seeing that God is not a good God, but he is a harsh God, a punishing God, a vengeful God. They're struggling with their faith. They're like, why do I want to believe in a God like this? And so we know, I'm sure that we all have conversations, or we've had conversations with individuals that are in that place of struggling with their faith. And the literal picture here of when it talks about helping the weak, the literal picture is of somebody holding the other person, lifting them up so that they know they're not alone. Do you know people today that are struggling with their faith? Have you reached out to them and been like, hey, I know that you're dealing with this. You're not alone in this. Can I pray with you? Can I walk this through with you? Give me a call. Let me help you through this. It's time. We can do this together. We can help the weak. And in all of this, guys, as it talks about, we need to be patient. I mean, the verb literally means you're slow to anger. When we get after this stuff, and we start talking to these people, we're going to get lip service. We're going to get individuals that say, you don't know me, you don't know where I've been, how dare you come and talk to me about this, I can't believe you're actually inviting me back to church, what's the deal, you know, all of this stuff, you can get out, you know. There's going to be this, it's like, hey, in love, I want to help you through this. Be patient, be slow to anger with everyone. James 1:19 says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. In seasons of struggle in the church, I've heard it said, and even I have heard myself say this sometimes, you know, church would just be so much easier if there weren't any people in it. Have you ever heard that? You know? I mean, I've literally caught myself saying that, and then just a few moments later, I recognize, I'm like, you know, without people, there'd be no church. But when we think about that, we recognize this, that people, you and me, we're not perfect. We're messy. The Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of God. We're all going to blow it from time to time. And if we don't have the patience and we're not slow to angry, why should we expect anybody else to be slow to be angry? But when we are pouring out grace, shouldn't others also be free to pour out grace as well? Guys, be patient. Be patient. Then it goes on to saying, keep, you know, don't do evil for evil. So no wrong for wrong. It's important that everywhere, but it is very crucial, I think, too, that, you know, not only are we keeping evil, we're not doing evil for evil around in other people, but let me just encourage this too, is very important in marriages, that we're not doing this. That in marriages we are not, when our spouse hurts us, that we're not just retaliating and hurting them back. Right? Ephesians 5:21 even talks about this. It's saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It goes into wives submitting and husbands loving your wives like Christ. I mean, we're talking about submitting to one another in this way. Hands out. How can I serve you? How can I love you? How can I best respond to you? And it's about putting the other one first. And I know that that's not perfect. I know that we're not always able to do that. I know that that is not something that is easy in some situations. But guys, Scripture's clear about this. When we are talking about taking care of family, part of that is that we are not responding when somebody is evil to us, we are just returning it and just spewing it back out at them. And finally, that we are doing good to all people. You know, throughout the Bible, it references doing good to everyone. In this scripture particularly, it is talking specifically to the family of God. So it's saying, hey, to the family of God, would you do good? You know, we talk a lot about in this place, and we do so much outside of these walls for the kingdom of God. And it's a beautiful thing how much we serve through our community connections initiative, which is the solar stuff and the Easter gives that we do and all that we are able to provide financially to this community. It's really pretty awesome. I mean, really, in the course of this last year, we've been able to give over $40,000 to our community. which is a beautiful and amazing thing, right? So the thing is that we are doing very well with that. The other part of this is what we are calling right now Actions Outreach, and it's basically a deacon-type ministry. It's serving one another. It's being the church for the church. It's loving on this community. We need to be looking at doing good in this place. So there are people that are a part of this community that have not been coming, or that you know that are hurting, or they're struggling. And I want to invite you with love and a sense of community to reach out and to do good for them, because they are a part of this house and they need to be loved on. In Galatians 6:10, I love this. The Amplified version of this says, "So then, while we as individual believers have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being, and especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith, those of born-again believers." I know that we're only hitting this one key for this first moment here, but I want us to take a mental inventory. How you doing? How you doing with all of this? Is it even a part of consideration for your life? Are you doing any aspect of this in your own walk with the Lord? Do you think about these other people? Have you had communication with these others that are out there that could be just kind of floating out in Durango land? Now, they might be riding their bikes or they're doing other things, but is there a void or an emptiness that maybe as you are talking to them, you can reintroduce Jesus into their lives? I mean, I know that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to really move in that place, but you can take that moment to encourage, to speak that truth that maybe they need to hear. So take inventory. How are you doing one anothering? It's hard to look at this stuff. I totally acknowledge that. But if we're honest and we choose to make some changes, if we choose to do this, I know that on a personal level, you will get healthier. I think that our body will get healthier as we do this. You know, as we love and resource and influence, there will be transformation that will take place in this body. I mean, you think about it. When you are more spiritually and emotionally healthy, then that helps to actually encourage you to become more physically healthy. It's a beautiful thing. And then as you become more healthy, you are able to then influence your family. And as you influence your family gets healthier. And as you as a family unit get healthier, then you go out into the world and then you begin to influence the areas that you are working in or doing, and that area begins to get healthier. It's an amazing thing that starts to take place. And then it just begins to grow more and more and more healthy. So I want to encourage you with these things. Take these principles in this first key to take care of the family. The second key in this, two short verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, always be joyful is the verse, and the key, the second key, is to worship together. Worship together. You know, in the early church, there was not necessarily a lot of external reasons to be joyful, all right? In the early church, Christians were being persecuted like crazy. They were being dressed in animal skins and then put into coliseums where animals would then pounce on them and attack them and kill them. There were other people they would be crucified, they were killed, they were put in jail. All of these different things were going on in the early church. And here it is, Paul is talking about always be joyful. There's always a reason to be joyful. Throughout the New Testament, there's lots of conversation about joy. And in fact, Paul talks about in Galatians that the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. So that when you are reflecting and giving glory to the Lord and you are looking at this relationship and you are focused on that and on Him, there is something that bubbles forth out of you, this joy that is coming from you. Paul shares a bunch of hardships in 2 Corinthians 6. But then in the middle of this, he says this in verse 9 and 10. He says, "And yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing." Always rejoicing. poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. When we worship, something takes place where we begin to take our focus off of us and put it on the Lord. This is an important thing about worship. Yeah, we feel good when we worship. But truthfully, when you really dig down deep into what worship is, you are worshiping the Creator of all things. You are reflecting on this God who has created you and you and you and created all of us. He has spoke life, boom. He has spoke stars, boom. He spoke all of this into reality. He is the one that at the beginning of time had deep relationship with mankind, but because man goofed it up and said, I want to do it my way, there was a severing of relationship. But God always had Jesus as his plan for the redemption and the salvation of mankind. And in that, we can begin to look at this amazing God, this amazing Savior. We can see this love for man and for what he has done for us. And as we reflect on that, we begin to pray. And as we pray, we begin to worship. And as we worship, we can give God glory. And as we sing these songs about him being our Savior, of him being magnified, of him having the battle that belongs to him, as we sing these things, we are reflecting on who he is. And it becomes easy and effortless for us to begin to think of how amazing it is and how joyful we can be because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we don't have to worry about all of those things. We begin to rejoice and begin to celebrate, and we begin to find this idea and this ability to always be joyful no matter what the circumstances are. We can be joyful. Now I know that we can worship on top of a mountain alone. I know that we can worship in the middle of the desert in the canyons. I know that we can worship on our bike or in a river. We can worship in all of these places alone. We can even worship, I've heard it said that some people even worship skiing. I have a hard time believing that they're worshiping while they're going down the mountain. I can't. I'm like, well, I'm praying more or less. Oh God, don't let me fall. But I do see, though, that you can worship when you're going up on the chairlift or even if you're sitting at the top. You can worship. There's something, though, that I want to encourage us today with, and that is worship together. Worship together. You can worship the Lord by yourself. You can worship in your car. You can do that as a family. You can worship alone. But when you come together and you sing songs together and you have a like-minded moment together, there is something very powerful that it is not just one voice, but it is a multitude of voices crying out before the Lord. This is something that encourages all of us, that even when we might be downtrodden, when we might be struggling, when we might be having issues on a personal level, when we begin to sing and we hear the voices around us singing out these praises, there is something that gets us fired up, that we can stand together, that we can serve this King of Kings and this Lord of Lords, that we can do this together. So I want to encourage us that we need to not just worship on our own, but we need to come back to the church and come back to a place of worshiping together. This is such an important key. It is time to start rejoicing. The third key, verse 17, never stop praying. We need to be praying for one another. Now, when I read this, never stop praying, I ask myself, is this even possible to never stop praying? When I was a kid, I literally thought that when the Sunday school teacher said, we need to pray without ceasing. I didn't know what ceasing was, so I asked, what's ceasing? And she said, always. Pray always. And so I thought, well, try. And so I closed my eyes and started praying, and then I started to think while I was praying, now I would want to go play. And so I just kept my eyes closed while I was wanting to go play. And I realized this is impossible. I can't do it. So 3 seconds later, I was, you know, eyes open going after the toys because I just couldn't spend that time always praying. Now, where the idea of always praying may not be possible, let me just say this. An awareness of God, a dependency on God throughout all of our day, that is possible. And I think that when we are in this place, it needs to be something that we practice daily. Because we have to have the mindset and we have to retrain our brain in order to have this kind of awareness on a daily basis. To be praying for people, to be praying always, to have this mindset that we are wanting to focus on God and focus on who He is. And so it might be that you take a dry erase marker and you write on your mirror in your bathroom, pray today. Focus on the Lord. Maybe it's a post-it note in your car. Maybe it's an alarm on your phone as it goes off. It just buzzes in your back pocket or it rings or whatever it does. And it says to pray or to just be focused, have a mindset about God today. You know, there might be opportunities then that you start to think about people as you're going about your day, that somebody just pops into your mind. And then you begin to go, when somebody pops into my mind, I'm just going to pray for them. And then maybe I'll text them later and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you, praying for you today. As we do that, as we love on our people like this way, as we love on our brothers and sisters, can you imagine how this is going to turn around hearts for the kingdom of God? That those might be frustrated, that those might be just having a struggle in life when you go out and you reach out to them and say, hey, I just felt like the Lord just impressed you on my heart today. I know that those stories that I've heard over and over of times like that, people needed to have a response from the Lord, and they got it because somebody else reached out and prayed because they were being sensitive to hearing the Lord that day. It's a really cool way that you can make an impact in the body of Christ. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Just pour it out. And thank the Lord. And when you pray, interestingly, as you think about this, you're not focused on self, are you? Rather, your heart is crying out for your family members. So when you're worshiping, are you focused on yourself? When you're helping others, are you focused on yourself? No. The point is that when we are reaching out to others, we're loving them. When we're reaching out to others, we're inviting them back into our community. When we're doing good and we're reaching out to others, we're being generous. At times, we recognize that we can't do it alone, so we do it with another brother or sister, and we're doing this together. We're doing this with teamwork. And the thing is when we are doing this for the Lord, there's just a level of excellence that we're doing this in, and there's a place of integrity that we're walking in when we're doing this stuff. We're not focused on ourselves. We're focused on others, something bigger than ourselves. We're focused on a family. And I'm not talking about the organization in Colorado Springs. I'm talking about the River Church and a bunch of people that at one time or another had a heart and a fire for Jesus and have since just kind of forgot, lost it, taken a bunch of 2-degree changes that have kind of allowed them to walk away from the Lord. It's grace. It's love. Can we encourage? Can we love? Can we bring back? I'm excited. I'm excited for what we're going to be doing. For the rest of the summer, you guys, we're going to be looking at the values of our church. We're going to be having family reunion, all right? Talking about all this stuff, sharing about all of this stuff, so that we can come back together during this time and get ready for the fall, get ready for what's to come. And even in this time, get ready for August. Get ready for next week. Gear up. Come together. Come together. It's time, you guys, for a reunion. Would you stand with me? I'm going to close in prayer as the worship team comes back. It's pretty awesome, actually, that I don't have to worry about preaching this again today. So, pretty excited about that. Yeah, it is good. So, y'all, this is family. You are family. The River Church is family. And I'll just tell you that in the course of this last season, I know that it hasn't always been perfect. And things have fallen through the cracks. And there's been moments where with every decision made, there's been somebody that's been frustrated with that decision. And with the world in turmoil as it's been over this last year, what I've recognized, and this has been a very hard thing, where people were hurt because of how things turned out voting-wise. They felt like they didn't have control over that. They didn't have control over riots. And they didn't have control over this or that, or they didn't have control over the fact they couldn't leave their house. They didn't have control over their favorite restaurant having to be shut down, or they didn't have control over the fact that they had to wear a mask, or they didn't have control over the fact that this thing was happening, or that they had to have a shield where they were working so that they couldn't engage with the people that they were usually dealing with. Or they didn't have control over all of these things. And I'm going to be very vulnerable with you guys right now. That the one place that they did have control was how they could respond to their pastor. And that really hurt. So we're working on coming together as family. Because it's easy to, you know, Mark will listen. He'll apologize. He'll do whatever. And I can just tell him how lame it is. I can call him a Nazi. I can say that he doesn't love people to his face. I can say that he doesn't care. I can say that this church doesn't care. I can say that Christians are idiots to my pastor. Because what's he going to do? I can control this world. Whereas nothing else can be controlled, I can control what I say to him. Folks, it's messy. Messy. But here's the truth in all of this. There is such a big calling for this community. God has such a big heart for Durango and the people in this town. And he wants to see lives transformed in this town. Durango is very similar to Jerusalem in this way, that it is a place of crossroads, that you got to go through Durango to get to one side of the state or the other on this side of the state, that it is 3.5 hours to an interstate, north or south, and about 4 hours to the east, there's another interstate. This is a crossroads. People are coming through here all the time. How amazing would it be if Durango were such a place for the kingdom of heaven, that they love people so greatly in this town, that when you drove through, when you interacted with individuals, you couldn't help but be compelled to hear and to know that there is a God because of the love that is coming out of this town. And I truly believe that it needs to start here, that as we love, as we pour out, as we influence, things will change. The atmosphere will be different. So may it be. May it be. May this family take off and be reminded of who it is. Because it's good. It's amazing. And I'm so stinking excited for what's going to happen. So Lord, I pray for all of us today that as this family grows, as this family reaches out and loves on others, may it be, Lord, that you are the one that is magnified. May it be that you are the one that is reflected. That when we reach out to those that are hurting, those that are struggling, God, would you give us the patience to hear where their hearts are at? And just love on them. And may we come together. And may we lift up your name. And may we celebrate you. Not for what you've done, although you have done so much. But may we worship you simply because of who you are. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords,
thanks for coming today.
The glorious Savior of all mankind.
Here at the River Church.
And we praise you today.
Church as a family.
God, we love you.
And I want to just say this. If you have anything that you'd like to comment on, prayer requests, even if today you want to give your life to the Lord, I want to invite you to comment below in the boxes that are there. If it's for a prayer request, let us know how we can pray for you. If you want to give your life to the Lord, say, I want to give my life to the Lord. Let us connect with you because we want to celebrate this great start to a new adventure that you are going on in your relationship with Jesus. All right, you guys. Well, thanks for being a part of TRC Online today. Remember, we will be back again next Sunday, same time, 10 a.m., right here at trcdurango.com or on Facebook and on YouTube. So, with all that, guys, thanks for being a part of things today. Have a great rest of your day. Take care.